The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Good morning and happy election day. I hope it is a happy election day for you. Join the conversation at 770-533-770-KMED. The email bill at billmyersshow.com. Anything that happens to be on your mind, since it is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday and not just election day, I'm happy to take your calls. We have Colonel retired John Mills who is going to join me. And he's going to be a counterpoint to my general feeling this morning. Now, yesterday I was kind of going, even though I don't have a lot of Italian in my background, I was, remember when I first came on, I said, what do I know? What do I know, right? That's how I ended up starting the show, you know, spending the first hour talking about what do I know or what do I not know. And you know how Italians will sit there going, hey, you know, I think you ought to do this, that, or that. And then they throw their hands up and go, but what do I know? Right? They always do that, right? I love Italians for that reason. You know, always giving themselves it out. But it's kind of funny. This morning I woke up, and yeah, I listened a little bit to Hugh Hewitt and various other things, and I'm kind of at peace. I'm really at peace, and my boss was, George, was just asking me, he said, well, what do you think's going to happen? And my gut tells me, not that I'm any great political analyst, it's not my job to, you know, I'm not one of those people like, you know, the knob guy with the focus groups and everything else that on Fox News and all those kind of people. I don't do that. I'm just kind of a regular guy. My gut, though, tells me that it's going to be Trump, and then we're going to find out relatively early in the process. And I think one of the tells, though, is that the Republicans have gotten a lot better at the early voting. They joined the early voting club. And I'm not a fan of the early voting for many reasons, as I've talked about before, including the fact that you don't get to hear everything that goes on with these various campaigns and the people running campaigns until you know, until election day. A lot of people have been talking about all this last minute news, like you know, Joe Rogan endorses Donald Trump. It's like, well, it doesn't matter. You know, you do it the day before the election. So what? It doesn't penetrate that much. We have so many people who have already cast their ballot. That's one of the issues that I've always had with this this early voting thing. But that is the game. That is the game as it is designed right now. It is a game, and Republicans have not been all that good at winning it. But they're playing it better this time around. And I think all you have to do is look at what's been going on in Pennsylvania. You have more than a million Republican votes that are already banked in that election, in that swing state. That's why everybody's been spending so much time in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania seems to be the you know, the key to winning this election. And you have a million, and you only have about four or five hundred thousand votes for Kamala Harris. The early vote has been lagging for the Democratic candidate, which is nowhere near normal. Joe Biden had much more at this same point in time, and that's kind of a tell. It's about voter enthusiasm. I've noticed that here in the state of Oregon, the analysts are predicting 90% voter turnout, and they're saying, well, don't worry about the sluggish early turnout. And, of course, some of this may be due to the vote-in and the fact that our state stupidly allows votes to be manufactured and mailed in after the election. Yeah, don't even get me started on that one. Did I say manufactured? Oh, no, I meant just mailed. You know, you don't need any pesky postmarks, too, and things like that. But I think what we're seeing is that Republicans are very enthusiastic about voting. Maybe some conservative or right-leaning NAVs are more enthusiastic about voting. And it would appear that even in the state of Oregon, Democrats are not as enthusiastic in the numbers that they were last time around. That could be what we're looking at here. And my gut says we may see a decision a little sooner than we thought. And it's so predictable. Right up to the very end, to election day, the polls magically tighten up to 50-50. Or I mean, it's like a 50-50. Man, it is just tied like 49.6 and 49.6, and which does not match real life at all. Now, my cynical side always wants to think, okay, you have to have the polls tighten up because this is how you make any election steal look plausible. Well, y'all could have gone anywhere going back to the Italian hand waving. What do I know? Right? You know, what do I know? You know, I thought that this, and then it didn't. You know, a bunch of votes just dropped off the back of a truck. That's what we used to hear in Pittsburgh, you know. Hey, you know, this mink coat dropped off the back of a truck, you know, when the mob guys would come around trying to fence stuff in the neighborhoods, you know, that kind of thing. But, well, what do I know, right? My gut, though, says that it is Trump and that we will know earlier than we're thinking. I also think the media likes to keep us whipped up into the possibility that it's just going to be a horrible horse race. We're not going to know anything. But once again, what do I know? We'll find out. We're going to be going to live election coverage this afternoon with the Salem News Channel at 4 o'clock. So we're going to do that. And so our normal programming is going to be just a wall-to-wall election. And I'll be popping in here a little bit after 8 o'clock, and I will do the election. Well, at least the first returns, the first count of returns coming in from Jackson and Josephine County and Secretary of State keeping up on the state and local races. So we'll do that here for a little bit, okay? And then I'll go back to sleep because I'll have to be back here the next morning. But yeah, I'm kind of at peace this morning. That's where I am. Yesterday I was throwing my hands up. What do I know? I'm still maybe. What do I know? What do I know? My gut says, though, it's Trump and that it is going to be a little bit sooner rather than later. I don't think it's going to be a super late night for knowing. Maybe that's just wishful thinking on my part. 770-563-3770-KMED. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome to the show.
Good morning. This is Lauren out in Eagle Point.
Lauren, how are you this morning, this fine election Tuesday?
Well, I'm doing good. I want to tell you, I spent 4 hours last night observing at the county clerk's office.
Mm-hmm.
And watching our lady there do the work, it's amazing. It's the first time I've ever seen it, and it just blew my mind.
Well, tell me what's going on at the clerk's office. I've never watched that myself. Can you describe some of that process?
Yes. The first thing that happens is they stick all the ballots to a machine that splits the top of the envelope. I mean, they put the envelopes, splits the top of it, and it reads whether they're legit or not. They know, they compare it to the records. They decide whether the, at that point in time, whether the signature is questionable or not. And then
does the machine read the signature first, or do people look at it first? How does that work?
No, the machine reads it first.
Okay.
And it kicks out the ones that are questionable.
All right.
And then a group of, there are about six ladies in this case, working on computers, comparing those signatures.
Okay. And so you have a machine that first chooses, if the machine thinks that it largely matches, then it goes on to being opened, and then if it doesn't, then it goes to people for hand verification of sorts, right?
That's it.
Okay.
And that machine decides whether it's a duplicate or not, and there are probably, oh man, on the stack that I could see, probably 60, 70 or more of duplicates. In other words, people would send in two ballots.
Really?
With the same info on them, I guess, or the same ID on them.
Huh.
And then it goes out to a big room with about 60 people in it who are looking, taking the ballots out of the envelopes, stacking them up, looking them again to make sure they were the right dates, you know, not an old ballot or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, they go to a machine that the ladies feed them into a recorder. I mean, it's actually it looks like you're feeding into a copy machine. But it's going in there and it's counting and it's posting all the numbers up on the screen and recording them, I guess, to be sent to the state. But again,
let me ask you this, since you're observing this,
yeah.
When the tabulator is counting up, so in other words, things are pre-counted, I guess, is what I'm saying, correct?
Well, no, this is all done. This would be the final step. that I'm talking about right now, after everybody has opened the envelopes and stacked them, they can't.
Well, no, I'm saying, though, but it's not technically election day. So when you say that they put up a display and then it's all displayed up there, are the results of the day's count put up there, or is it just like ballots that have come in?
Individual, there are four of these things, counters, I don't know what they call them, but they feed them into. And we sat at the side watching. You couldn't even see at least I did with my good glasses, could not see any, you could not recognize what those numbers were, how many for on that particular list of ballots.
Oh.
And I did not see any of that part.
So it's not like they're posting results of what they've been receiving so far, and then the election people know what the count is, or do they?
No. And the only thing that was ahead of time was that we were told that they probably had a 61% return as of last night.
Mm-hmm.
61% for Jackson County, which is amazing. But then they were expecting, of course, they're expecting thousands more ballots coming in today, or last night and today. So, it was so exciting to see our democracy at work.
Curious, how much comes in on mail? Or was most of this by coming in the mail, or are most of the people doing it in the drop boxes? Do we know? Can we tell at this point in time?
I don't know that answer. I know that I saw guys coming in with little hand trucks with little covered boxes on the bottom, covering them, and then delivering them to Chris, and that was the first thing they bring. And they actually come in the front door, go upstairs on the elevator, and bring them right in.
Okay.
A lot of security there already last night.
Oh, yeah, that has been a big part. Media's been reporting that that everyone's just making sure that there's no particular. Although I don't detect a feeling of violence or wanting to push that here in Southern Oregon. If I were probably counting in Multnomah County, you might feel a little bit differently then, right?
Yeah. Well, partly because the only reason they're worried about it, and I think you may have even said, or somebody said that on your show yesterday, was the fact that they're concerned about Kamala losing, and so all the wonderful Democrats and left wingers are going to fight, are going to riot. Well, you're not worried about it if the Republicans are winning or losing, because we'll just take it and go on. But you know what I mean by that? So yeah, I can understand Multnomah County being up and being, but they're all set up here with various agencies to be prepared for any kind of violence that may come.
I really appreciate the report from Election Central there, Lauren. And this is the first year you've had a chance to do that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And I would do it again if I had the chance. If we sat there, part of it was boring for 4 hours. I went in there at 1 o'clock and got out at 5 when they're supposed to have been quitting. But they had a bunch of ballots that they were rerunning because of, and they rerun them in case there's any questions through the machine. Mm-hmm. And so those people are supposed to get off work at 5, but I was told that they'd probably be there until later to get them done. And tonight they say they're there counting ballots till maybe 2 in the morning.
Now, this is something I've always wondered, because when I do my election report tonight, it's usually the first run, the first election report comes out usually about 8:15, 8:20, you know, somewhere in there. Sometimes a little bit later. It depends on how it's going. So they are being already counted, correct? They have to be, because there's no way that they run 100 and something, you know, or, you know, 65,000, 70,000 ballots between 8 o'clock and 8:15, right?
No, they know right now, but they're not saying anything. They, as far as I'm concerned,
okay,
they
there has
know
to
right
be.
Now that 61% of the 61% of the ballots have been counted, and so those amounts will be ready. They're ready now. If they were, if Vicky was to go, is it Vicky? I say all of a sudden I can't think of the our county clerk. Anyway, mm-hmm. A wonderful, wonderful lady, because we were right by where she was doing most of.
Chris Walker.
She was doing janitorial work. Because they can't let anybody else in the place. And she was actually cleaning out the garbage cans in between running the machines.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to know. Everybody pulling together on that. Thank you for the look behind the scenes here. I really appreciate that, Lauren. Be well. Okay.
And I got to go to work at 7:15.
All right. Well, I'm at work right now, too. But thanks for checking in before you did that. All right. 770-5633. It's interesting. Behind the scenes there. I've never observed the elections like that. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Pebble in your shoe
this
Tuesday.
Minor Dave.
Yes, Dave. What's up?
down here in Siskiyou County, I didn't do it this time around because I wasn't up to it. But I did it 4 years ago and went in and observed it. But in the state of California, they can't start counting the votes until they open up and starting the elections. And it's a pretty slick thing. They have them all counted by in this county by the end of election by, you know, 9, 10 o'clock. It's all wrapped up here, and they announce who won the county seats and, you know, any judges or any other positions. Now the state might. The county might have the state for state positions and president.
Yeah.
They may take a little longer because they got other counties and, you know, like that. But they can't start counting until like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Or you mean 8 o'clock at night?
No, I mean they start counting the mail-in votes because here you can vote in person or you can vote by mail. Where I live, there's no place to vote here. You have to do it by mail because, you know, it's... Out here, there's only maybe a couple hundred people that live out here in Hornbrook and all that. So
there's no Dropbox or anything like that in your neighborhood then?
They don't even have Dropboxes here. The only Dropbox in the county is at the courthouse. You have to take it in there if you're going to drop it off.
All right. Well, thanks for the report there from south of the border, okay? It's 626 KMED. 628. Jackson County, I'm looking at, now this is late last night when these numbers ended up being given to me. 65% of Republicans of Democrats in Jackson County have cast a ballot so far. 65%. 66.5% of the Republicans have cast a vote. And it does appear to be a bit of a gap growing between Democrats and, so we're looking at about... 28,000 Democrat votes, 33,000 Republican votes. So we got 5,000 more of those. There, of course, there are about 5,000 of the non-affiliated voters, on the independents, things like that. Josephine County, 65% of the Democrat vote in, 69% of the Republicans. Really, really... big boost on the turnout for Republicans. And so we're talking about 18,000 Republican votes versus I was on Jefferson. Problem is I'm on a spreadsheet and the lines can jump here. So we got, Josephine, 8,900 Democrat votes, almost 18,000 Republican votes. So it's looking pretty good for Republican candidates in Josephine County. Quite a bit closer in Jackson, that is for sure. Where I have been raising some questions is looking at the lower enthusiasm for voting in the big hive minds, the urban hive minds. 53% Democrat turnout in Clackamas, 54% Republican turnout in Clackamas so far. This is as of last night. Multnomah County... 50%, only 50% turnout for Multnomah County, 147,000 Democrat votes, though, 52% Republican votes, but it's a much, much smaller number. So it's really about if you see reduced voting or turnout or enthusiasm, it's really indicating, I think, reduced enthusiasm for Kamala Harris. I think there's no way of looking at that. And as far as I'm concerned, if Democrat votes are being, they're not encouraged or they're not feeling really happy about that and they want to keep just dragging their feet. Maybe it's just going to be a lot of late voting, but Democrats, as a rule, are early voters. They get it in there. They get it in right away. They don't seem to be doing that to the same extent this year. And that's what I was talking about with Pennsylvania, too. Now, maybe this is a head fake. I don't know. But this could have to do with less enthusiasm. And there was much more enthusiasm for Joe Biden, as feeble and in the basement as he was even at that point. We'll see. And I have to tell you, if the Democrat vote is discouraged and they don't feel like going out and coming out and voting in the urban hive minds of Clackamas, Multnomah, and Washington to the same extent, there may be actually a chance for some of the Republicans without a lot of money that have had the been running for statewide office, such as Dennis Linthicum or a Brian Boquist. I think Brian Boquist only raised about 12 grand, but it would take an awful lot of Democrats not voting to make the difference, given that we are decidedly considerably bluer than I would prefer it to be because of those northern counties. But, hey, who knows? Who knows? You know, maybe you have a bunch of people, instead of voting for Kamala, they're out there freezing ice cubes or ice bags right now and carefully placing bricks in certain corners of Portland's neighborhoods. I don't know. All right. But, interesting. We'll just see. We'll just see about this. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm hoping that the northern part of the state continues to sit on their hands a little bit more. I'm all right with that. It gives the Americans in southern Oregon a better chance of actually having a better outcome. Good morning. This is Bill. Who's this? Hi.
Hi, this is Holly, Josephine County.
Hey, Holly, did you get some updated numbers here?
Yes, I got from last night. We get the numbers from the clerk. She sends them out about 6 o'clock, and then we crunch them and take a look at them. And, you know, we're showing our party turnout for the Republican Party to be at about 74% with a projected turnout at, you know, close to 90 after today, because there'll be a lot of ballots that come in today.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats, 69 with a projected turnout of maybe 75. They're just not projecting as high. But strangely enough, the non-affiliated voters who rarely vote came out huge. So they're normally they have 18% or so of their total vote. They're already projected nearing 40%. That's a big jump. So they
and that's kind of a big question mark too, right? We're not really sure how that unaffiliated vote leans. In some cases could be conservative, other places could be liberal. You just don't know at this point, do you?
But what's really interesting about it is that in the very early voting, the NABs were coming in, people who had never voted before, or one or two or three, because you can go back and kind of look at who's voting. So people who have never voted before or very rarely vote or jumped in and voted right off the top. So there's emotion behind it. So what is that emotion? That's the question. There's a lot of emotion behind that. Personally, my suspect is they're just tired of the downturn in the economy.
I would agree with you there. And I'm also thinking that the lower turnout overall or the is showing a lack of enthusiasm in the Democratic. I'm talking about the partisan Democratic vote. There doesn't seem to be that eagerness to jump in there. Maybe we're going to see a last minute, blue wall wave come in. It's possible, especially in the urban hive minds. That's what I'm speaking about. You know, Washington, Clackamas, Multnomah County. You know, those ones that tend to wag the Oregon dogs. You know, the tail that wags the Oregon dog all the time. But I don't think there's as much enthusiasm there, in spite of the fact that there are tons of Harris Walls signs around the area. There's no doubt about that.
Well,
no shortage of that.
Put up in your area. We have a lot of Trump signs here, but then this is an interesting feature, is the total voter turnout. So you're looking at all the people who voted in the county.
Mm-hmm.
23% of them are NAB, and 23% of them are Democrat. So the NAB vote count has come in at this point equal to one another. That's very, very unusual. And 46% of the total voter turnout is Republican.
I still think my gut says as a nationwide race for Trump tonight, I think we're going to know sooner rather than later. What do you think?
I think so, too, because the numbers are already in. People voted early. Whereas, the last round, you know, they voted. They said, vote late so nobody, you know, can get a pre-count and stuff the ballots. And
Trump was not able to make it up, was not able to make up that enthusiasm at the end there. So we will find out. OK. All right.
We will.
All right, boy, I'm kind of at peace, though, with the whole process right now. I woke up this morning feeling very peaceful about it. I kind of surprised myself. What about you? Or are you just a bundle of nerves?
Well, you know, I have to admit, I'm kind of a bundle of nerves because we've got so many local races that are just critical. We've got to flip the city council here and get a new team. You know,
the goal of the Josephine County Republican Party is to really make us a snot stoddard be upset. I mean, and so he can write a nasty editorial the next day. Okay, that's your job.
He'll love that no matter what. He's Mr. Spin Daddy. No matter what, he'll make it look, you know, like the they're calling the Republican Party corrupt. I just love that. corrupt because we try to bring people in that reflect our own values. So in their mind, that's corrupt.
Gee, I thought that was always called our democracy in the Democratic world when they win.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
All right. Hey, Holly, stay in touch. We'll touch it in a little bit later, okay? It's 6:37 at KMED. Oh, boy. Coming up here in a couple of minutes, I'm looking forward to this talk here because Colonel Retired John Mills is going to join me, and he's author of War Against the Deep State. And he's saying that every day after today is going to be like Stalingrad. So we may know what's going to go on, but what's going to happen after the election? I don't know. We'll kick it around with him coming up.
Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company provides water to
future.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
20 before 7. Colonel Retired John Mills joins me right now. He has a wonderful Substack. It is colonelretjohn.substack.com. And his latest book is War Against the Deep State. Colonel, it is great to have you on the show. Great to have you back.
Hey, Bill. Always an honor to be on the show with you. Thank you.
Hey, honor is mine. Honor is mine. You wrote a piece the other day. Of course, you have some new Substack pieces we should certainly talk about. But you wrote a piece the other day that after November 5th, it's like every day over the next, two, 3 months is going to be like Stalingrad. That is very thought-provoking. And you talk about it being a slog. And it kind of counters my gut feeling today about the election because I'm actually feeling kind of peaceful today. And I don't know, maybe this is just a coping mechanism psychologically about what is going on here, just to kind of keep you going. I'm kind of peaceful about the process. I do believe that my gut says that Trump will probably win. We'll probably know a little bit sooner than we think. But yeah, you're almost implying that the real war starts after the count, or is it going to be interrupted by lots of other lawfare? How do you see this playing out?
Well, thank you, Bill. I pray for a decisive win. The blue team is going to unleash relentless lawfare to make up for anemic early voting and anemic enthusiasm.
I would, by the way, concur that we're seeing, in comparison to the Republican turnout in Oregon, there appears to be less enthusiasm from the blue team, even here in Oregon.
The joy and the vibe was fake. It was nothing but every time I saw the joy and vibe, it was a lot of angry old white women who were waiting for the return of Bella Abzug or something for her to leap from the grave and save them from their lives. It just, I'm sorry, it was contrived. It was fake. And this is what you get with fake enthusiasm is anemic turnout. You can't keep it going. They can bring out all the white dudes for Kamala all they want. And what did Trump immediately do? He countered that with black dudes for Trump and crushed the white dudes for Trump. I mean, it's a joke. But you're going to see there was a special operations general years ago who, when we were in Bosnia, said this is what Stalingrad looked like. This time it's in color. What we're facing now is a legal lawfare Stalingrad. And I hope for a decisive victory. I would also pray for that, but also be prepared for a relentless slog. I mean, Steve Bannon has said this, and I've expanded upon it. It's going to be like Stalingrad, this time in color. It's going to be a legal lawfare. Now, the Virginia case in the Supreme Court in advance was important. And what I do, I'll call balls and strikes fairly. The RNC has done a much, much better job filing prompt lawsuits. Some of them have been successful, some of them turned down, but in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, there's been event after event where it's clear there's manufactured ballots, clear there's fraudulent ballots and improper ballots with no names or what are clear duplicates. It's just ridiculous.
But do you think, though, that there's a better job this time of catching that stuff rather than being flat-footed, which the RNC was flat-footed in 2020, especially?
The RNC has to get a fighting spirit, and they have, and I've been on some of the gatherings and calls with the RNC leadership team of Watley and Lara Trump. So much better, much more proactive. The Virginia case, and I was involved in the Virginia case that went to the Supreme Court. It was the collision of 18 U.S. Code 611, have to be a U.S. citizen to vote, and then this quiet period from Motor Voter 1993, that 90 days in advance of an election, you can't take a name off the rolls. Well, and what the Supreme Court said, no, you can't just take people en masse, but absolutely. If what 18 U.S. Code 611 trumps, no pun intended, motor voter. If somebody is unlawfully on the rolls and the governor of Virginia and the commissioner of election identify thousands of names on the Virginia rolls that were unlawful, they were not U.S. citizens. How did they get on the rolls? And they were attempting to take them off. And the DOJ sued them. It went to the Supreme Court. My team prepared, I think we had like the first or second amicus brief at SCOTUS, and SCOTUS ruled in favor of governor of Virginia.
Yeah, that was good news. See, that was good news. That was also just common sense, too, Colonel, isn't it? I mean, honestly.
Well, for years, we've had lots of election integrity grifters on our side of the ledger that, for some reason, never seem to remember 18 U.S. Code 611. Whenever I'd bring it up, they'd always go, oh, but you shan't be able to remove names in that 90-day quiet period. I'm saying, that's stupid. Of course you can. Of course you can. 18 U.S. Code makes it absolutely, it's unequivocal. It's a very simple U.S. law. You have to be a U.S. citizen to vote. And yet, for some reason, Bill Barr in 2020 and a lot of our self-appointed election integrity experts on the MAGA or conservative side, always, they never seem to remember 18 U.S. Code 611. You bet that trumps the 90-day quiet period. If somebody's unlawful, they can't be on the rolls, period. How in the world can anybody argue that? And we had three Supreme Court justices out of nine who, for some reason, thought it's okay for a non-U.S. citizen to be on the rolls. I'm sorry. They're going to say, oh, that's sexist, that's racist, blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry. Unequivocal. Got to be a U.S. citizen to be on the rolls. How could anybody argue that? That's just absolute foolishness.
Colonel Mills with me this morning. Lieutenant Colonel retired John Mills with me. You know, your Substack, of course, is a wealth of great information about this election deal. You know, going back to 2020, and not that I want to refight this, but I'm just hoping that it doesn't appear we're going to see a repeat of this. You talked about how there were Bill Barr and various other people who were kind of laydowns. In my opinion, I always thought that there was intentional laydown from the Republican side at that point, because I think that there were many within the Republican Party at that time that did not want President Trump to win in 2020. Would you agree with me on that at that point? And even people that were kind of close in the president's, you know, the president didn't always have friends within his administration. That's for sure.
I think Bill Barr, I'm not just going to be a total hater on Bill Barr. I think sometimes he is good, sometimes not good, but there's only about 5 federal laws on the conduct of voting. There's really not that much federal law in voting. What I take offense to is Bill Barr says, without any modicum of research, says no election issues. Well, I mean, that's a lie. At least be honest that there's very little experience other than the 1964 Voting Rights Act. There really isn't a whole lot of federal law or experience in election integrity. I mean, 18 U.S. Code 611, nobody ever mentions that. Why? That is insanity. And it is clear that no state, and I've done a lot of research and investigation, no state that I'm aware of can demonstrate any trusted process to validate that a name that comes on via motor voter to the election rolls is 18 U.S. Code 611 confirmed that that person is a lawful citizen. No state that I'm aware of can demonstrate a transparent, public-facing, auditable process on this. This is so basic. So this is industrial ballot production illegal aliens on the rolls. I'm sorry. I mean, some people are going to take offense to that. Too bad.
No, well, we're not taking offense for it here, Lieutenant Colonel. I know that, of course, you're well aware of what happened with Oregon, in which 1,300 or so votes, voters, illegal aliens were found in the motor voter system here in Oregon. And, of course, our system people immediately fell on their sword and said, well, that's okay. But this is just a they describe it as a one-off. And I honestly feel that there is probably a lot more of that going on in the state of Oregon. Nobody wants to really look at this point in time. And I think there's a lot more of this and maybe other states, too. These are red states, though, that are finding this problem, right?
Well, yeah, this is you should. I always approach election integrity. I have a nonpartisan nonprofit. I do not align myself as a Republican, conservative, or MAGA. When I do, everybody should be interested in election integrity. That's the foundation of our constitutional republic.
I agree with you, but my point being, though, is that out in the blue states, though, I don't think there's as much fervor on that on 18 U.S.C. 611. Pesky law that you have been talking about the last few minutes.
Oh, okay? No, nobody's been paying attention to that. And the game is clearly, I mean, there's a lot of evidence, let's say in Pennsylvania, there's absolute willful malfeasance of ignoring people who are obviously unlawful citizens and letting them get under the rolls. But the challenge with Virginia, and I would say with many states, is we're now issuing illegal aliens. They are illegal aliens. I don't care if Biden, Harris, or Newsom says that they're you know, refugees or whatever they want to call them, and they give them an app to come in. They're illegal aliens. A president doesn't have authority to declare illegal border crosser as legal. Okay, that's just basic. But there's so much evidence that there is very little trusted process, and you got a deep state at the federal level. You have a deep state at the state level, where civil servants at the state level are apparently turning a blind eye to this legality issue. And a name comes on via motor voter. We're in Virginia, we're giving driver's privilege cards to illegal aliens. Okay. Got it, if that's the state law, but what about the trusted, transparent, auditable, public-facing process to assure and give confidence those names are U.S. citizens? And
They're not doing that part of it. That part of it, even in Oregon, it's a faith-based, and this is also why Judicial Watch is suing the state of Oregon. I'm sure you're probably familiar with that. With that story, they're suing them because they don't require proof of that. It's whatever you say it is on your motor voter application. Oh, yeah, I'm a citizen, but nobody checks, right?
Yeah, it's offensive that every other nation secures their borders. Every other nation requires some form of ID. Almost every other civil nation can do a vote in one day, and a lot of it is paper only. Hey, I covered the elections in Taiwan in January. 24 million people, they can do the election. It's paper only, essentially no machines, and they get it done by late at night, the night of voting. Why is it impossible? It's funny, the blue states and the blue cities have this challenge in counting, and we're going to take, for crying out loud, Clark County in Nevada is going to take weeks. That is an insult. It's clear that malfeasance is going on. That is exactly what's going on. It's call it for what it is. It's a lie. Anybody who's saying, oh, it's just too difficult to vote. I mean, we're the country that put a man on the moon. We won the Cold War and the Second World War, and we can't count ballots.
Well, if we see something like that, what do you believe will be the lawfare engaged in? Because, like I said, that piece of yours, every day after November 5th will be like Stalingrad. So we might know where the direction of things are. But you're talking about the legal challenges upon legal challenges upon legal challenges. And now, is this going to be then Democrats engaging in what Republicans were called election deniers? Is it going to be legitimized?
Hakeem Jeffries was an election denier in 2016, and he wasn't called an insurrectionist. So it's a lie. And, hey, let's just wait. Even in Virginia, we had the 2 a.m. of the day after the election in 2020, that unexplained blue spike at 2 a.m. Wow, here we go. We just found all these votes. This is a lie. So if we see that, watch out. If they try to play that game again, watch out. But again,
I've been very impressed. A lot of it are activists on the ground. I can only advocate for Virginia, Prince William County, Virginia. That's where I live. That's the only place I can vote. Everybody else has to take care of their county and their state and ensure they have a clean county. So I can get upset about Pennsylvania, but I don't live in Pennsylvania. Okay, so it's Keystoners that have to take care of Pennsylvania. And in Arizona, it's all about the dirtiness in Maricopa County in Phoenix. And you've got the essentially the John McCain mafia controlling everything from the grave. It's just sick what's going on in Arizona.
It's almost like, John, when they talk about, you know, I'm talking about government officials say there's no widespread voter fraud. They're probably right about that there is no widespread voter fraud. It's probably concentrated voter fraud in a few key battleground counties, really. Isn't that really what they...
Well, it's only about 30 counties out of the 3,300, that's roughly 3,300 counties and cities that are county equivalent. That's from the Census Bureau. That's the official count. There's only about 30 counties that caused troubles for the national vote. And it was only like 50,000. It was a very small number in the 2020 election that separated. But I think we have to create a more trusted process for voting. We just presumed that somebody else was counting the votes, and we learned a hard lesson in 2020. I'm not relitigating 2020, but that's right. We learned, yes, somebody else was counting the vote, and oftentimes it wasn't us. And this is another thing. Don't just be this foolishness. You got, again, election integrity grifters on our side of the ledger say, be a poll watcher. What a total lie and waste of time. Absolutely ineffective. You have to be an election officer and work behind the counter and count the votes. And everybody, well, I don't know. How do you do that? Well, you apply. Holy smokes. I mean, it's not that difficult. You apply to be an election officer. Most states require an equivalency between Republican and Democrats. That's the problem in Fulton County, Georgia. They are just unlawfully denying Republicans the chance to even be election officers behind the counter counting the votes. But even better yet, from this point onward, we have to be the county election registrars. Okay, that's why Soros and Arabella have targeted. If you go to a National Association of County meeting, and I've been to several of these, these are psycho. And the WEF Soros presence is just pervasive at the National Association of County meetings. And, you know, 80 to 90% of the registrars nationwide are blue leading. Even in red counties and red states, they have focused on taking these positions. In my county, my registrar in Prince William makes roughly $180,000 a year, and we can't find a conservative to take that, to at least apply for that position. $180,000 a year? Are you kidding me? This is what we need: more conservatives, populists, and MAGA to actually encumber these registrar positions. I mean, everybody like walks around staring at each other. I don't know. How do you do that? We apply.
You apply, but you see, that's kind of cutting against the red grain, as it were, in which I don't necessarily want to work in the government. Oh yeah, you need to in these particular cases, right?
Well, that's the problem with conservatives and popular, you know, conservatives. But I consider myself more populist than MAGA. But the conservative, you know, they win, they walk away. They lose, they walk away. Ladies and gentlemen, this requires absolutely pervasive, consistent, and enduring presence. That's how they stole the country, is because we always somebody else is doing that. Well, who are these other people? I was a court appointed precinct deputy because in my own county in 2022, because this one precinct was 12 blue members. Okay, it's by law you're supposed to have 6 blue, 6 red. Okay, and finally I was able to hold the county GOP feet to the fire and say, you go out there and do a lawsuit. And I was a court appointed deputy precinct official
They didn't like it, but I was parachuted in and bumped somebody else so that I was one red with 11 blue in my precinct. That's what you got to do. People are, oh, I might lose my job. Oh, somebody might attack me. Oh, my God. I think our country is worth it, okay? Get a grip and get some, you know, steel up here.
Yeah, which means you have EEL. And the takeaway from your talk here, Colonel retired John Mills with me this morning once again. He's author of The War Against the Deep State, okay? Is that you can't just trust the system. You must be part of that system. You must be just as active. And you're right. I would dare say that many conservatives and Republicans have one of these things where they consider their civic activity limited to, well, I voted, and that's it, right? I voted.
Well, in my precinct, in that precinct that I was parachuted into by court order, no Republican poll watchers, which I think are worthless anyway, but a Democrat was there. And talking to him, he was a retired doctor from Massachusetts living in North Carolina that was paid $250 a day plus travel plus expenses to come and be the poll watcher at this precinct. Are you telling me? I mean, are you kidding me? Of course this has Arabella Soros and national coordination. So even this retired doctor from Massachusetts living in North Carolina is a paid poll watcher at my precinct in Prince William County, Virginia. Of course they're better organized. So this is ridiculous, and we're just, you know, we're getting our lunches eaten here because, yeah, we just, oh, I mean, and you know, I always applaud the conservative mega populist women because they're the first to get involved. The guys are always, you know, sitting on the couch drinking a bowl of loudmouth soup and saying, oh, somebody might get mad with me. I might lose my job as an Uber driver. I mean, what is going on here? Guys, get a grip and get, I mean, this is not, that's not the 1776 spirit. Maybe it is, but only 3% fought in the Revolutionary War, 10% provided support, 3% fought. I think we're a lot more than 13%. I think we can do this.
All right. Colonel, before we take off then, do you believe that that Trump does win this election? But it'll be about winning the lawfare afterwards.
I am guardedly optimistic, but it is going to be a relentless Stalingrad of lawfare, and we've got to get ready for this and, you know, help pay for these lawsuits. I mean, I have a legal team. I was able to get an amicus brief filed. I think we're the first or second ones to support Governor Youngkin. And you got to slap down these amicus lawsuits. That's where you're saying, yes, this is a good idea. Yes, judges, please rule favorably for this situation. We got to move like lightning and sound like thunder and lawfare beat lawfare. And the average person goes, well, I don't know. I mean, I need a lawyer. I can't read the law. I mean, what? Get a grip. If you can read English, you can read the law, probably come up with a better interpretation than lawyers who rarely read the law. I mean, come on. If you can read English, read your state law on elections. In Virginia, it's 24.2. You know, Oregon, Patriot, Mega, Populist, pull the Oregon code on elections and start firing up your lawyers. And he says, well, I can't read this.
All right. Well, the bottom line then really is that, so I'm feeling calm about the election because, well, the election's the calm before the storm then. The storm's going to be the lawfare. Really afterward.
Oh, you bet.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Okay.
They're come out swinging.
All right. Colonel retired John Mills once again. War Against the Deep State has great Substack. Must read. Colonel Rhett, R-E-T, john.substack.com. Please subscribe to that. John, we'll have you back. And thank you very much for the insight. Okay. You be well.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.